Did you know that before any event takes place, that there is first what I would call a behind the scenes action going on? Sometimes after I see a movie and I ask myself, how did they do that? How did they do that? How did they make that happen in the movie? And I look to see if there is a behind the scenes at the end of the DVD or online or something of how they made this movie. And sometimes there is. Sometimes the scenes of behind a movie are even better than the movie I saw. You know, and they're so interesting. But there's actually a lot more that goes on into it than we would ever know. Had you ever noticed that at the end of the movie, all the credits that are there, if you put a DVD player in and you let it go, it scrolls and scrolls for a minute or two just with the credits of all the others that are involved, with hundreds of people involved, as I would say, behind the scenes. We all know that in the beginning of a movie, it usually mentions those main actors that will be in it. At least in the old days, they used to do that. People like Charlton Heston, Katharine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne. But at the end of the movie, they were the credits. And there will be supporting names of those actors that we will never know. Many of them, we will never know them. There will be those stunt men and stunt women. And there will be the lighting people and the audio people. There'll be cameramen, caterers, set design, wardrobes, transportation, and on the list goes. Well, brethren, the same is true in this Bible we read. The same is true in the Bible we read. We mention a lot of the same names, mostly those big names in the Bible. Of course, you know, I guess number one would be Jesus Christ and God the Father. But the apostles, King David, Moses, Abraham, Esther, the prophets, Jeremiah, Elijah, Daniel, and the list goes on, the names that appear in our sermonettes, in our sermons. But today I would like to take a look at a few little known people who worked, as I would say, as those people in the movie industry, who worked behind the scenes, who worked behind the scenes in the Bible. Names that are mentioned less often because they are people who worked with those main characters and individuals that we had, that we read about so many times in the Bible. Just like the great movie, as I said, cannot be made without the help of all the people. God's work is done through each and every one of us. I know Christ said that God could raise up rocks if he need to be to do the work. And thankfully, he's not had to have to do that. We can be very thankful for that. Well, let's take a look at a few of those, what I would call behind the scene unsung heroes of the Bible. Mr. Demarest mentioned one of those unsung heroes at Miami's 50th anniversary. This year, that will be 5 years ago already. Time's moving by fast. And he mentioned the name Mnason. Not a name we hear or read about very often because, as he mentioned in that and in the Bible, he is only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. And he gave a sermonette on him. Bible commentaries believe that he may have been there from the very start of the New Testament church on that day of Pentecost, and if not before. And he remained faithful in the church and the service of the church and what was going on then, apparently for a very long time. For almost 26 years, because he's mentioned in Acts in 57 AD, as one who hosted and lodged Paul and his companions on their third journey that they were taking to Jerusalem. 26 years. So we know he was around as a faithful servant a long time. Well, there are many, many, many people in the Bible that maybe only mentioned their names one time that were very important and played a very important part in helping in preaching the gospel. We find another behind-the-scenes person that appears in the Old Testament. It's not talked about very much, but when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he played a very, very important part. Behind the scenes part, as I would say, at that time. How many of you people know the name Bezalel? Bezalel. Nobody? Very important person in the Bible. See, I'm finding this out myself too as I research for this sermon, or split sermon. Bezalel, he was the son of Ur and the grandson of Hur, H-U-R, of Judah. You know who Hur is? H-U-R? You may be hearing his name. He was a trusted man of Moses, who held up Moses' arm during the battle against the Amalekites. Not a name we hear very often or talk about. But what was he important for? What was he doing? Bezalel was a skilled craftsman who executed both the work of the tabernacle, the furniture, and the musical instruments used in connection with the worship at the tabernacle in the wilderness. He was given wisdom, it says, by God, and engaged principally in the work of metal, wood, and stone. And Aholiab, who worked under him, Aholiab, these names are not real easy to say, but I listened to all the pronunciations online, how you say them. Aholiab, who was associated with him and was worked under him, was in charge of all the fabrics that were to be in the tabernacle. Well, what he did was very important. Very, very important. Let's turn over to Exodus. Exodus here, chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And this is really about the only times, there's a couple other times, but it says here in Exodus 31, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Ur and the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ashmish, and of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all who are gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you." This was a tall order, a big order to do what they're asking. "The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture and all the of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure lampstands with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, with the laver and its base, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priest, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense of the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." A very big order for Bezalel. Well, a few hundred years later, we see in 2 Chronicles, we won't go there, but we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 5, his name mentioned again. It says, those items made hundreds of years ago by Bezalel were taken by Solomon and placed in the temple that he later built in Jerusalem. So these beautiful pieces of work of Bezalel lasted for centuries in God's temple. Well, in a much smaller way today, I would say we have what we call our modern-day Bezalels, who are working behind the scenes in God's work. You know, in my 60 years of attending feast and Sabbath services, holy days, I have seen many, many Bezalels, types of men and women serving in God's church behind the scenes, doing many of the things that we just read about. Some of you here, not many of you, I'm sure, but just a few, may remember back in 1972, here in Miami, the Miami Church, which was around 600 people then, was mainly responsible for putting up a huge tent in Jekyll Island, Georgia. This tent, when it first started out, the attendance was around, for the very first year I was there in 63, was around 5,500 people. And it grew larger and larger to around 10,000 people when it was finally no longer used. But I, my brother and I, and others, probably Howard, some of us went up early, a week early, to help put up this tent. The largest tent at that time in the world, as some say it was, the largest tent, which was brought over every year from Big Sandy. And it took a week for the tent to be put up with all the electricity, the lights, the wiring, the tent supports, the stage, the sound to be set up, along with all the chairs, probably hundreds of people who are working behind the scenes, people that I didn't know and I will never know, with a corral of around 200 people. A lot of behind the scenes in preparing that. Carol probably remembers that too. And it was all done to make the feast a memorable, as memorial and a memorable as possible, to give honor and glory to God. I know we've all seen it. When we go to the feast now, today, and we leave on that last great day, pretty soon, sometimes after sundown, sometimes they even have to start taking things down before sundown, everything comes down very quickly. And those same people that we don't know are there working, taking it down, packing up those cables for the audio and all the stage stuff, and putting it away. And also those, brethren, this past winter family weekend, Mr. Mark Winters, who is in charge of that, he would be the first to say, as big of an event and social event as it was, all the behind-the-scenes people working to make that event happen, such a success, he would be the first one to tell you. It wasn't him, because he's the one that plans it and designs it, but it's all those that are working, all of God's people, to put on such a wonderful thing for the church. I also know those who design graphics and take pictures for the Discern and in the Accord magazine, for the online Life, Hope, and Truth website. They also, I would say, are modern type of Bezalels. Even here locally, this podium that I'm speaking from today was built by Mr. Adam Kahn. We appreciate that over the years. It's been wonderful to have this. But you know, there was a design and artistic work that went into this, and we'll have it for many years to come, you know. But many of us didn't even know he was probably building and working on it at that time. But We do thank you very much. It's very nice. But others that work behind the scenes here, every Sabbath, getting things done, every Sabbath, getting flowers, getting the table set up, the coffee, those that are greeting outside, people working behind the scenes, before some of us even get here, these things are already done. Well, there's another example of people who are working behind the scenes in the Old Testament. You probably know the story of the two midwives mentioned in the book of Exodus. But do you know their names? Do you know the names of those two midwives? It was very important to God. We know the story of how they were courageous in saving many lives of the Israelites. They were saving lives of the Israelites when they were still slaves in Egypt. We know the story how Pharaoh of Egypt was afraid that the Israelites, they were afraid of the Israelites because they were actually becoming more and mightier than the Egyptians. So he wanted to kill all the male Israelite babies. Let's turn over there and read what God said, what he says here, these two women. Let's turn to Exodus 1. If I can get there. Exodus 1 here, beginning in verse 15. Says the king, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah. That's how you say it, Shiphrah. And the name of the other, Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king called for the midwives. Like, we're in trouble. Although they really didn't know what it was about, they probably figured it out. And said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? They had a very good answer. And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and gave birth before the midwives come to them. So they could already hide the children, whatever, if they were a male. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty because of what these two midwives did. And so it was because the midwives feared God, it says, that he provided households for them. They did a very important role for God, yet they're little known midwives. Anytime we're faced with making a decision whether to do what man says, which what they had make that decision there, are we going to do what the Pharaoh says or not? What to do, what man says or what God says, we are types of Puah and Shiphrah. When we also make the decision to fear God, sometimes we will have to make a split-second decision. Split-second decisions. There's no time even to think about it, let alone pray about it. Things come up in our lives and the lives of young and old that test us. I know I've had those on my job when I wasn't expecting something and I was approached by my boss, whatever, and asked me to do something that was not right. Not right. Or when there is peer pressure by others to do things we know are not right. And just as God rewarded Puah and Shiphrah for their obedience to him, God will do the same for us too when we do that. Well, there's another name that is virtually known to us in the Bible of an unsung hero, as I call some of them. And I heard this I didn't pay much attention to it, but Mr. Franks mentioned it several years ago at a family winter family weekend up in Louisville. It was a man by the name of Tychicus. I know you know who he is. Tychicus. I listened to that explanation, too, of how you say his name. Although there was a couple of variations online of how you say it, but Tychicus is the most common one. He was mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times in the New Testament. How is Tychicus important to God's work? He was most likely from Ephesus in Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, and we learn from the New Testament that he traveled to Greece, Troas, Jerusalem, Ephesus, Colossa, and possibly the island of Crete. And of course, he was at Rome, which was probably his most important role at that time. During these travels, he was assisting the Apostle Paul on his first journey and his second journey. And it's a third journey, too. Possibly, he was assisting the Apostle Paul and serving alongside him in the ministry to many different local churches. His ministry was to encourage, the scriptures tell us, was to encourage these churches, but also to deliver some key letters. He was to deliver some key letters that Paul had written while he was in prison in Rome. Tychicus was trusted to deliver the letters that are now known as some of the letters we read in the Bible, the book of Ephesians, the letters, Colossians. The Apostle Paul trusted him not only to deliver these letters, but also supplement their message with some personal news while Paul was in prison. Tychicus was Paul's official representative and was authorized to speak on Paul's behalf as a faithful servant. As a faithful servant. We first read of Tychicus in the book of Acts in chapter 20, where he's mentioned. Chapter 20, verse 4, but I'm not going to turn to that one. But he was traveling with the Apostle Paul near the beginning of Paul's journeys, and his name also appears in one of the last books written by Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's mentioned. Near the end of Paul's life, where Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Tychicus stayed working with Paul throughout the years when some others had left Paul. Others had left. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Here in Ephesians, and it's also mentioned in Colossians 4. We're not going to read that one, but it pretty much says the exact same thing as Ephesians here. In Ephesians 6, verse 21, it says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. He was Paul's spokesman. Whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, what's going on here with us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Comfort your hearts. A pretty big responsibility that he had to travel from Rome to these outlying church areas. What the apostle said about his friend was a wonderful thing for him to say. How would we like to be known as loyal, beloved, faithful, and someone who comforts the hearts, as it says, like Tychicus did. That would be a good thing to be known about ourselves, wouldn't it? How many times do we come to church and go away encouraged and comforted by one another in our conversations? I look forward to it every week when we come here to have our conversations and be encouraging, or may encourage someone else when they're having difficulty or problems. Well, brethren, Tychicus accomplished many things behind the scenes. He wasn't Paul's only helper, we know that. And he isn't even remembered much as a Bible's names go in the Bible. But Tychicus offered his help and support when it was needed and never stopped. He was loyal to the end, his name being mentioned from Acts to 2 Timothy. Pretty long span of time. You know, we have our modern day, as I would say, Tychicus's today in God's church too. We don't deliver by hand letters today as they did back then, or messages to the churches. But there are people who are working constantly behind the scenes to get those messages throughout the air in modern times and means almost instantly to support the ministry when they can't be there always. Just as Paul couldn't be there always in his day. We have the internet today. We have video messages that are sent, that are downloaded, that can be played, that do the same thing, that inspire. We can hear God's message. And it's a wonderful thing. At the feast, we sometimes have the sermons all the way around the world. People will be able to listen in at one time and hear. We don't have to deliver everything by horse or walking or whatever in these times today. At the home office in Texas, there are many hands involved in getting God's message out to the world. Each person is very valuable in supporting the ministry and the work. Even many members in local congregations have submitted articles, have written articles that are printed online in Life, Hope, and Truth, in some of the blogs. And I might say some of them are very excellent written, very well-written articles that we can all learn from. There are people we'll never know who are working behind the scenes. Maybe one day we'll get to meet them, but we don't know them. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how much we are all needed, brethren. We are all needed, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 12. And verse 13, we'll begin reading. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." We all come from different backgrounds, don't we? All of us. "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' and is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. God needs us all. We are all part of that body. No matter how important a part of the body is, no much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we have bestowed greater honor. And our presentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And what he's saying there, I think you all know, is that some parts of the body are more important than others, but they all make up the body. We can't be without any one part of it. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If I stubbed my toe pretty bad a week ago, and it's still healing. But let me tell you, my whole body hurt from that toe. It turned black. But, you know, just as little as it was, my whole body was hurting for days for that. It says, and if one member suffers all, the members suffer with it all. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Means languages. Are all apostles? No, we can't all be apostles. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. It means desire those best, the best gifts that you have to offer. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. So next time you see the credits that are rolling at the end of a movie, and you see the names of the people you will probably never meet or see or know, that's because they were all behind-the-scenes people. And just like just a few of these that I've mentioned, Bezalel, Pua, Shiphrah, Tychicus, and hundreds more mentioned in the Bible that we will just read over because their names may be too hard to pronounce mainly, but realize how important each one of them was to God and to the people they supported in their day. You know, Paul, in his writings of those letters, when he finished those books and those letters that he was writing, and many of those in the beginning and at the end, he thanked everybody for their help and for what they did to help him. And it's amazing that he never would forget to thank all the people that were helping him. Just as each one of us of God's children are important to God, work now in our day. The Apostle Paul was always mentioned behind the scenes, men and women, as I said, in each of God's churches who were loyal and faithful. It says in Romans 1:8 this. It says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world by the example, by the help, by the work that they were doing. But brother, most of us, when we see what's going on in this world, if you look at the newest Discern magazine and you read some of the articles in there that highlight some of the problems in this world, from Venezuela all the way around the world, and you see what's going on in the local news, Some would ask, where is God in all of this? Well, we must remember, because God has revealed it to us and given us a gift to understand his truth. Remember that God and Jesus Christ are working behind the scenes to fulfill their plan and to bring, as it says, many sons to glory. We have to remember that. There's a purpose and a reason for all this, so that God's plan for salvation can be completed. Let's turn a few pages back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, and read. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Paul's speaking to those. He says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, those that God has called. Those of us who have been called by God, who have his wisdom. But he says, not the wisdom of this age, this world. And we see there's not much wisdom out there in this world. Nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming, it says, to nothing. But verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Behind the scenes, they are working, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a pretty powerful scripture there, statement. In today's times, our names aren't really known in this world by many people, and will unlikely never be known that much in this world, except to the one that does count, and that's God. And hopefully, as Mr. Frank said, our names will be written in that book of life and will stay there. But for now, brethren, we continue on working behind the scenes.